Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Chav Chedem and Aleph of the two dots. The Gemara here quotes the Mishnah, Pasha Gdola, Korim Ota Bishnaim, Bishacharit, Ube Musaf, Ube Mincha, Korin Al Pihem. So here, the Mishnah is somewhat cryptic as to where to parse the statement. You have a statement clearly that you read this from the Torah and Shacharit. And the other part of the statement that's clear is by Mincha, you read it Baal Peh. The only question is with regards to Musaf. Does Musaf like the Shacharit? Does Musaf like Mincha? That's what the Gemara asks now. Ibailahu, Heikhi Hamar. The Shacharit to Musaf, Korim Otar B'Sefer. In Shacharit to Musaf, you read it out of a Sefer Torah. Ube Mincha, Korim Otar Peh. By Mincha time, you read it by heart. Korim Et Hashma. Similar to the way that you read Shema. Odilma, Hachiktani. Or maybe this is the way to parse it. The Shacharit, Korim Otar B'Sefer. The Shacharit, you read out of the Sefer Torah. Musaf, Ube Mincha, Korim Otar Peh. Korim Et Hashma. Musaf and Mincha, you read it by heart, as if you're reading it like the Shema. Tashma, the Tanya, we have a Braita. Bishacharit, Musaf, Nichnasim, the Beit HaKnesset. Bikorim, Keder, Shikorim, Kol HaShana. So here you have a clear that Shacharit and Musaf are paired together. And Shacharit and Musaf, you read out of the Torah. Mincha, Yachid, Korat, Al Peh. By Mincha time, an individual reads it by heart. Amar Rav Yosef, Vichi Yachid, Yachol, Dikro, Divrei Torah, Al Peh, Vitzibur. Can an individual in front of the tzibur read by heart something that is devarim shebichtav, something from the Torah? Elo kulan yichnasim, everybody gathers together, v'korin ata al peh, korin ata shema. Everybody reads it together by heart as if they are reading the Shema. Alright, so here you have, first of all, with regards to Shacharit and Mincha, they read out of the Sefer Torah, they have Kriyat Torah from Maseh Breshit, which we already laid out in the Mishnah, which we partially discussed yesterday. Now, with regards to Mincha time, they have the same Kriya again, but they don't take out the Sefer Torah once again. So in that Kriya, instead of reading it from the Sefer Torah, they read it Baal Peh, similar to what Kriya Shema that you read in the morning. Even though they're Dvarim Shebichtav, even though they're things that are found in a Sefer Torah, and generally when you have something in the Sefer Torah, you have to read it directly from the Ktav, you have to read it from the Sefer. Over here, we're allowing you to read it Baal Peh. We have other examples of that. We had the example of that in Yoma, with regards to the Kohen Gadol in Yom HaKippurim, when he says, Yoter Mima, Shamarti Nimtza B'Sefer, he rolls it up and then he reads Baal Peh. There is because he had a problem, he can't roll it because of Tircha D'Tzibur, and therefore he says it Baal Peh. We have this, the Gemara here states, by Kriyat Shema, that many times people in the morning say Kriyat Shema by heart, even though those are Dvarim Shebichtav. And similarly over here, the Gemara is making a parallel to that and saying that by the Kriya of the Maseh Breshit, they can each read it. They read it all together. All the individuals read it together. There's no one reading it in front of the tzibur, but they read it together, and they can read it by heart. Now, why is that allowed? Why is there such a dispensation for one to read the Torah verses, even though you're not reading mitoch haktav? So there are different answers to that. One of the answers is that that only applies when you're reading b'tzibur. When you're reading it for the public, then it's a problem to read it shalom mitoch haktav. And that's borne out by the Gemara over here, which says, well, oh, they thought one individual was reading it in front of the Tzibur, and then they reject that and say that, no, it's every individual reading it, and that's why it's okay. So that's one possibility. Only when you're reading in front of the Tzibur is it problematic to read these by heart or not to read them mitoch haktav. But if you're reading in front of the Tzibur, then you have to read them mitoch haktav. The Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachot say that the Torah commands us to read certain things mitoch haktav, and other times it gives us mitzvot to read things, but doesn't say mitoch haktav. So for instance, Mechiyat Amalek, or the Kriya of the Parsha of Amalek, there's a requirement that you read it mitoch ha-sefer, mitoch haktav. But over here by Kriyat Shema, the Torah says you have to read it, but never says you have to read it mitoch haktav, that you read it out of the Torah itself. So there are exceptions to that rule, Birkat Kohanim, certain psukim that we read that you do not have a requirement to read them mitoch haktav, even though there's a requirement in the Torah to read those items. Now, there are others, like the Tur and the other achronim afterwards, who mention that if one is well-versed in the issue, then they can read them even if they do it by heart. The worry that we have, or what we are requirement to read it mitoch haktav, is because we're afraid someone's going to make a mistake. But it's something that's shkura b'fiv, something that he knows for sure and he knows by heart clearly, and he's not going to make a mistake in it. Over there may not be any restriction against reading it by heart, even in the tzibur, even in the context of which there is being motzi other people. Maybe there you could read it by heart because it's well known and people are well versed in it, and therefore there is no mistake to be made in those instances. So that's part of what allows you to do this. The last answer that possibly is that the difference between reading something kekriya b'torah and reading something kitzfilah. There's a difference if you're reading something as limud Torah, to learn Torah, or reading it out of the Torah, versus something that is a tefillah. That actually comes out in halacha with regards to Birkat HaTorah. When it comes to Birkat HaTorah, you have to say Birkat HaTorah, and then you have to learn afterwards. So there's a question that's brought up in the Shulchan Aruch with regards to someone who forgot to say the Birkat HaTorah in the morning. So we know that Ava Rabba, or for the Sephardim, Avat Olam, is able to make up for Birkat HaTorah. It's the equivalent of Birkat HaTorah. And then the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Mem Zayin, Sif Zayin, Sif Chet, he says, V'yeshli stepek, Isagi b'korei Kriyat Shema samuch la miyad. The fact that he reads Kriyat Shema right after Ahava Rabo, b'li hafseik, is that enough to be considered Liman HaTorah? V'lachen yeshli zeher levarech Birkat HaTorah kvodam avat olam. And therefore, you should try to say Birkat HaTorah earlier, in order that you have learning immediately afterwards, because the Shulchan Aruch is not certain that the reading of Kriyat Shema qualifies as Limud HaTorah. And that's what I'm mentioning now, that it's possible that when you read the Shema, you're not reading it like Limud HaTorah, you're not reading it like Kriyat HaTorah, and therefore there is no requirement of Birkat HaTorah, and you might not be yotze of learning before Birkat HaTorah, and you might not have a problem reading it mitoch haktav, because this is not Limud HaTorah. It also has another nafkamina, which is what happens if you need to say Kriyat Shema. Zman Kriyat Shema is passing, and you need to say Kriyat Shema in the morning, and you have yet to say Birkat HaTorah. But if you say Birkat HaTorah, then you won't be able to say Kriyat Shema bizmano. So there again, there's a possibility that you could say Kriyat Shema before Birkat HaTorah, because it may not be classified as Limud HaTorah, because you're doing a Derech Tefillah. And since you're doing a Derech Tefillah, it might be okay. And the same might be true here as well, since it's a Derech Tefillah, that also it's not a problem to do it Shalom Mitoch HaKtav. And you could argue the same thing here with regards to the Mamadot. Even though with the Mamadot, we're reading from Ma'aseh Breshit, and it's not a tefillah, but in the end, it really is a tefillah, based on the Gemara that we saw yesterday, which is Imalei Mamadot, Lo Nitkamu Shemayim Varetz. The whole point of reading from Ma'aseh Breshit is to drive home the idea that the Ma'aseh Breshit is connected to the Mamadot. And therefore, it is a form of tefillah. It is not necessarily a form of Limud HaTorah. And that might be why you're allowed to read it Baal Peh. You don't have to read it Mitoch HaKetav. Right now, the Gemara moves on to the next piece of the Mishnah, which is, Kol Yem Sheyesh Bo Halel, Ein Bo Mamad. Any day that has Halon in it, there is no Mamad on that day, at least for Shacharit. Ma Hefresh Ben Zeh LeZeh. What is the difference between this one and that one? So, the Gemara here is asking is, what's the difference between the Korban Eitzim that knocks off the Mamad of Ni'ilah and the Mamad of Mincha? It does not knock off. Whereas, when you get to other things, which are like the Korban HaMusaf, by the Korban HaMusaf, it knocks off Musaf and it knocks off Mincha. So why is it by one of them that it has a greater power to knock off things, whereas others don't? So by Halel, it only knocks off Shacharit. By Musaf, it knocks off the Musaf and the Mincha. And then by the Korban HaEitzim, it knocks off Ni'ilah and not Mincha. So Ma Hefresh Ben Zeh LeZeh, why is there a difference between them? Halalu Divrei Torah veHalalu Divrei Sofrim. The difference between Divrei Torah and Divrei Sofrim. So now, the way that Rashi and Tosafot learn this is that Mincha is Min HaTorah, which is very interesting that Rashi says that, that Tfilat HaMincha is Min HaTorah, Kedamrinim B'brachot, that Yitzchak Avinu Tikein Tfilat HaMincha, because it says, V'yitzeh Yitzchak L'suach B'sadeh. So we learn it out of a pasuk in the Torah, which is an Asmachta Ba'alma, but Rashi says here, because of that, it's a din like din d'oraita. And Ni'ilah, the Tfilat Ni'ilah is clearly only Midivrei Sofrim. So now, if that's the case, when you come to be knocking them off, when it comes to the Korban HaMusaf, which is a din d'oraita, so the Korban Musaf can knock off the Mamad of the Musafim, but also can knock off the Mamad of Mincha, because it's on a parity with it. It's d'oraita and d'oraita. Whereas when it comes to Korban HaEitzim, which is Divrei Sofrim, it can only override something that is Midivrei Sofrim. which is the Ni'ila and not the Mincha. So that's the way that Rashi and Tosafot learn here, which is that when it comes to Korban Musaf, it knocks off Musaf and Mincha, whereas when it comes to the Korban of Ni'ila, or Korban Ha'etzim, it only knocks off Ni'ila, not Mincha. On the other hand, if you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom at the bottom of the Amud, Rabbeinu Gershom says over here, Ma'efresh ben zeh lazeh, klomar, Ma'ishna de Musaf doche Mincha, Veinu doche Ni'ila. Why does Musaf knock off not only Musaf, but Mincha as well? But it doesn't knock off Ni'ila. The Korban Ha'etzim doche afilu Ni'ila. Whereas the Korban Ha'etzim knocks off Mincha and Ni'ila. So the Rabbeinu Gershom believes that Korban Ha'etzim knocks off not only Ni'ila, but it also knocks off Mincha. Whereas Musaf only overrides Mincha. So the answer of the Gemara is, Halalu Korban Musaf are Divrei Torah, ve'ein tzrichim chizuk. And they do not need strengthening. Rashi takes ein tzrichim chizuk out of the Girsa, because for Rashi it doesn't make any sense. But for the Rabbeinu Gershom, it's a part of the Girsa, because he says that since Korban Musaf is something that doesn't need chizuk, so it overrides Musaf, it overrides Mincha, and that's it. On the other hand, the Korban Ha'etzim, which is a din d'rabbanan, there we have to give it chizuk. So not only does it override Mincha, it also overrides Ni'ila. And it has that extra over Musaf, that it overrides Ni'ila, because it's Midivrei Sofrim. And since it's Divrei Sofrim, then we gave it chizuk to override Ni'ila, to show that it's a special day, to show that it's a Yom Tov. And that's why the Halalu Divrei Sofrim is Tzarichim Chizuk. Those are two different approaches to this Gemara, as to whether we're explaining why Ni'ila has, why Korban Ha'etzim has more power. That's the way the Rabbeinu Gershom views it. Whereas Rashi and Tosafot want to explain why does Musaf, the Korban Musaf, have more power than the Korban Ni'ila. And the answer for both of them is Halalu Divrei Torah, the Korban Musaf is min Torah, whereas Halalu Divrei Sofrim, the Korban Ha'etzim, is only min Derabanan. Right now the Gemara continues, Zman Atzeh Kohanim Va'am, which is mentioned in the Mishnah, these days on which they brought, the Kohanim and the Am brought these Ha'etzim. Tarabanan, Lama Hu Tzruchu Lomar Zman Atzeh Kohanim Va'am. Why do they have to say this? So this is the answer, is Amru, Kishalu B'nei Agola, when they came back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Lo Matzu Ha'etzim, they didn't find sufficient wood, Belishka, in the storage houses for the Korbanot, for maintenance in the Mikdash, V'amdu Elu, V'itnatvu Mishalahem, and these individuals, these families, went ahead and donated wood from their own supplies in order to maintain the wood in the Mikdash. V'kach Iknu Nevi'im Shebineihem, so Nevi'im amongst them at that time made a condition, Shafil Lishkam Le'ah Itzim, even if there's plenty of wood in the Mikdash, Yu'elu Mitnadvim Mishalahem. These individuals were able to bring up their Itzim and donate them, and they would get priority that their Itzim would be used. Shinamar, because it says, V'agoralot Hipalnu Al Kurban Ha'itzim, we threw lots for these Kurban Ha'itzim, Akohanim Alevim Va'am, Vavida Beit Alukeinu, the Beit Avotenu, to bring to the house of God, the house of our fathers, the Itim Mizumanim, at fixed times, Shana B'Shana, throughout the year, the Ve'era Mizbech Hashem Elokeinu, Kakatu B'Torah, to be burnt on the Mizbech of Hashem, like it's written in the Torah. So you see here in Nehemiah that they established, for those that came up, a fixed time during the year in which they donated these Itzim. And they were granted that special privilege, because, as we saw before, not everyone came up from Bavel, and actually the majority of people stayed back in Bavel. So those that did come were rewarded with these benefits. We saw that with regards to the Kohanim and the Mishmarot, that the Mishmarot that came up were rewarded with, granted the Mishmarot of the others and given precedence. And over here too, those that came up and donated the Eitzim, even later on, when this was no longer an issue, they still had that first right to bring the Eitzim, and they had those special days on which they brought the Eitzim to the Mikdash. So then we had a list in the Mishnah of individuals who brought on different days. And then in the middle of the Mishnah, there was this interesting statement which says, V'imahem kohanim levi'im achol mi she'enu yodeh shivto. And then it talks about b'nei gonvei eli u'b'nei kotzei k'tziot. Gemara wants to know, Tanrabanan, ma yu b'nei gonvei eli u'b'nei kotzei k'tziot? What are these people, or who are these people? Samru, pamachat gzera machut gzera l'Yisrael shelo yaviu etzim l'maracha. They instituted decrees against the Jews that they were not allowed to bring up wood to the Mizbeach, v'shelo yaviu bikurim l'Yerushalayim, they couldn't bring up the first fruits to Yerushalayim. V'oshivu pruzdaot al adrachim, and they put guards or sentries on the roads in order to prevent them from coming up to Yerushalayim. Kederosh shoshiv Yerovam ben Nevat, similar to what Yerovam ben Nevat did, shelo yalu Yisrael l'regel, to prevent Bnei Yisrael from going up to the regel when he established Dan and Beit El as the centers religious centers of his monarchy, and he put the Agalim there, then he refused entry to Bnei Yisrael back to Yerushalayim. So ma asuk sherim pirei chet shebalto dor, those individuals who wanted to still perform the mitzvah, if he was salei bikurim, they put their bikurim in a basket, v'chipum b'kziot, and then they covered them over with dried figs or dried fruits, v'natlum, and they took them along, v'eli al ktefehen, and that, and the pestle on their shoulders. When they reached the guards or the sentries, Amru lahem, they said, where are you guys going? So Amrim lahem, lasot shnei yigulei dvela, we're going to do pressed figs over there. We're going to make pressed figs with these dried out figs. Bimachteshet shalafanenu, with the mortar that is in front of us. Ubeili shalkatfenu, and the pestle that is on our shoulder. Kevin shavru mehen, once they passed these guards or the checkpoint, itrum bisalim, then they decorated the baskets, veviyum Yerushalayim, they brought their bikurim out to Yerushalayim. Satana, hein hein, b'nei Salmai hanitofati. This is similar to these individuals of Salmai hanitofati. It's not clear if this was a specific family that had this or performed this, whether this is a description of the individuals who participated in bringing up these bikurim and the wood when it was restricted. So turn about my hein b'nei Salmai hanitofati. Amru, pamachat, gzeira machut, gzeira li social, if you ate sim na marachat, that they weren't allowed to bring up wood for the mizbeach, voshivu pruz da'ot, all the drachim, and they put up guard sentries on the roads. Kadero shoshivu ravam ben avat, all the drachim, that's similar to what Yeruvam ben avat did, lo yalu yisro the regal, to prevent them from going up to the regal. Masu, yurechet shabot o'odor, what do those that feared heaven do? If you gzirehem, they brought their chopped wood, vasu sulamot, and they made them into ladders. And then they put them on their shoulders. And once they reached the checkpoints, where are you going? We're going to get some birds from the dovecotes in front of us. And we're going to use the ladders to get up there. Once they ran past the checkpoint, they dismantled them. They brought the wood up to Yerushalayim. On these individuals and people like them, Omer, it says, Secher Tzadik Livracha, their name should be remembered for a blessing, by Yeruvam ben Avat v'chavirav, Yeruvam ben Avat, and others who prevent Bnei Yisrael from doing what they're supposed to be doing, and prevent them from doing mitzvot, demar, v'shem Yerushaim Yerkav, that the names of those that are evil should rot. So here you have a story about these individuals, these Bnei Gnoin Ve'eli, Bnei Kotzik Tziot, who gained special status because of their bravery in bringing up the wood, and bringing up the Bikurim to Yerushalayim, and therefore they got themselves a special place in the donations of wood to the Mikdash. Now, what's interesting here, it's not clear from the story in the Gemara about when this transpired, when these gezerot were in place. If it was interesting, if it was in the Roman times, because generally we don't find gezerot from the Romans against the Jews until post the Churban or the time of Bar Kokhba and the Hadrianic laws, we don't find it in the earlier period that the Romans were very makpid or clamped down on the Jews doing mitzvot. But otherwise, you would have to say that it is from an earlier period, like when the Greeks were there, or even earlier than that, with some Jewish king in the second bite who was preventing them, which doesn't sound right. So, it seems like it's probably from the time period of the Greeks in which these stories transpired. Yeah, I'm assuming that Salmai might come from the word Sulam. That Bnei Salmai HaNetofati probably is a play on the word Sulam, and that's why they got their name. Again, I don't know if this is a family, or if this is a descriptive term for those individuals who broke the decree or were able to get through the checkpoints. All right, so now the Gemara continues with the dates that are enumerated in the Mishnah and the people that brought. So then it says, Bisrim bo, b'nei Pachat Moav ben Yehuda. On the 20th, then the family or the children of Pachat Moav bring up. So they're from the Shevet Yehuda, but what's Pachat Moav? So Tana, b'nei Pachat Moav ben Yehuda, hein hein b'nei David ben Yehuda. These are the equivalent, or it's the same as, the family of David HaMelech, Tivir Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hein Hein, B'nei Yoav Ben Tzruya. That these are Yoav Ben Tzruya. The reason being that Moav is from Ru'ut HaMoaviyah, that they were both descendants of Ru'ut HaMoaviyah. The question of what, David is clearly a descendant of Ru'ut HaMoaviyah, and Yoav's relationship to David, in Divrei HaYamim, it says that Tzruya was the sister. And it really is left as a dangling modifier there because it's not clear whose sister it's referencing. The last thing to speak about is the sons of Ishai, so that would make her a sister of David, and that would make Yoav ben Tsruya a nephew of David. And that's the way Rashi explains it here, and Rashi explains it in the Navi, that Yoav ben Tsruya was the nephew of David. And obviously, if Tsruya is a sister of David HaMelech, then they are both descendants of Moab, and they could equally be the ones that are being spoken about in this instance. If you say that Tsruya is related to David's father, then they would be first cousins. But again, they would still be descendants of Rut HaMoabiyah. Besrim Be'elul B'nei Adin Ben Yehuda. Tanu Rabbanan, B'nei Adin Ben Yehuda, Hein Hein B'nei David Ben Yehuda. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda believes that this is also from the family of David HaMelech over here, these Adin Ben Yehuda. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hein Hein B'nei Yoav Ben Tsruya. That is Yoav Ben Tsruya. And the word Adin is mentioned in Shmuel Bet, that Adino Ha'etzni, who is one of the Giborim of David HaMelech. So some associate that with David HaMelech himself, and others associate that with Yoav ben Tsruya. It's actually a machloket that we'll see when we get to it in the Gemara in Moed Katan. Alright, so now the Gemara says, Bechad b'tevet shebo, b'nei parush, shavu b'nei parush shnia. On the first of Tevet, the Bnei Parush return again. So Mani Matnitan, who's the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Meir, velo Rabbi Yehuda, velo Rabbi Yossi. Can't be any of these Tanaim. Because, I Rabbi Meir, we just saw before, that Rabbi Meir believes that Pachat Moav ben Yehuda is actually Bnei David. If that's the case, then Bnei David showed up twice in the Mikdash. So Litnei, Shavu Bnei David ben Yehuda Shnia, that they return twice. I Rabbi Yehuda, if it's Rabbi Yehuda, Litnei Shavu B'nei David Ben Yehuda Shnia, then also, because he believes Adin was also David HaMelech, B'nei Adin Ben Yehuda was also David HaMelech, so then why doesn't the Mishnah comment that Shavu B'nei David Ben Yehuda Shnia, like they say by B'nei Parosh? I Rabbi Yossi, Litnei Shavu B'nei Yoav Ben Tsruya Shnia, because he believes both Pachat Moav Ben Yehuda is Yoav Ben Tsruya, and he also believes that the Bnei Adin Ben Yehuda is also Yoav Ben Tsruya. So why doesn't he say that they return twice, that Bnei Yoav Ben Tsruya return twice? When it says Olam Rabbi Yossi, it's actually Rabbi Yossi is the author of our Mishnah, Vetrei Tanei Alibed Rabbi Yossi. And there are two Tanaim according to Rabbi Yossi. One Tana says that Yoav Ben Tsruya comes out of Pachat Moav, and one of them says that Yoav Ben Tsruya comes out of Adin Ben Yehuda. And it's obvious that whoever that is can't think that the other one is Bnei David, because then they have the same problem again. So they think that some other mishpacha. One of them they use for Yoav ben Tsruya, and the other one they just say is another mishpacha. So therefore, those two Tanaim are enumerating Rabbi Yossi's opinion, but they're mutually exclusive opinions. So therefore, there's no chance that both of them were Yoav ben Tsruya, and then you can't say Shavu Shnia, that they came back a second time. Okay, it says, V'chad b'tevet lo haya bo mamad. On the first of Tevet, Korban Eitzim, there was no mamad all day. The reason for that is that you have three things happening on Echad B'Tevet. It's Chanukah, it's Rosh Chodesh, and it's one of the days of the Korban Eitzim. So each of those is going to take out a portion of the mamadot. Hallel takes out the Shacharit mamad. Musaf takes out the Musaf and Mincha. And the Korban Eitzim takes out Ne'ilah. So from all of those three things, you wipe out the mamadot of that day. Now, in terms of wiping out the mamadot of that day, we mentioned this in the Mishnah, but it's a machloket about who is it wiped out for. This is apply only to the people up in Yerushalayim who are osek in the Korban Musaf and osek in the Hallel for the Korbanot, or this also applies to the people back in the cities, and that was a machloket Rishonim. We saw two or three, four actually permutations about the different opinions on the Mishnah about who's affected by these. Amalei Mark Shisha Breid Rav Chista the Rav Ashi, my Shna Hallel the Dachi Didei, Umay Shna Musaf the Lo Dachi Didei. Why is it the case that Hallel knocks off Shacharit, where you say Hallel for the Mamadot, and by Musaf the Mishnah says that it knocks off Mincha? But why does it knock off Mincha and not Musaf? So Amalei Rav Ashi Hashte Lav Didei Dachi Didei Lo Kosh again. If it knocks off, it's not its own, meaning mincha time, then it certainly should knock off its own. So that's not what I meant to say. I said, why doesn't it just take out musaf? Why doesn't the Korban Musaf just knock off the Ma'amad of Musaf, and why do you think it has to take out Mincha as well? There is a Tana that says like you, and that's Rabbi Yossi. Obviously not Rabbi Yossi, that's not our Mishnah, but it's Rabbi Yossi, which is interesting, because we just said that Rabbi Yossi was the author of the Mishnah, but obviously on this point, he's not the author of the Mishnah, the Tanya. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Yom Sheyesh Bo Musaf, Yesh Bo Ma'amad. Any day that has Musaf also has a Ma'amad. Ma'amad Demai, what Ma'amad do they have? Ilei Ma'amad Shacharit. If you have a Ma'amad Shacharit, Atanakama Namayochi Kamar. The Tanakama agrees that there's a Ma'amad in Shacharit when you have a Korban Musaf. El Ma'amad de Musaf. Oh, but you think the Ma'amadot Musaf still exist? Did they Nami Lo Dachi? How could you suggest that the Musaf doesn't knock off its own Ma'amad? That for sure it knocks off. Elo de Mincha. What do you mean? So Mincha is the time. So the Gemara says, Korban Eitzim Dachi. Mincha is taken out by the Korban Eitzim. Elav de Ne'ilah. It's about Ne'ilah. Shmamina didei Dachi, Delav de Lo Dachi. According to Rabbi Yossi, then Korban Musaf knocks off its own Ma'amad, but nothing more than that. On the other hand, according to the way they were reading the Tanakama, or maybe the author of our Mishnah, believes that it knocks off Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah. That's going to knock off all of these in their entirety. So now, the Gemara says from this, that you have a Tana, like Rabbi Yossi, who says that the Korban Musaf only affects Musaf and nothing more. But you have other Tanaim, like the author of our Mishnah, the Tanakama of that Braita, who believe that it can knock off more than the Musaf itself. It says, V'litnei nami b'chad b'nisan, lo yaba mamad, yesh b'nesh yesh b'halel, b'korban Musaf, b'korban Eitzim. How come our Mishnah doesn't enumerate Rosh Chodesh Nisan as a day that has no mamadot as well? Because Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Chodesh, so it has Halel, because it's Rosh Chodesh, it has a Korban Musaf, because it's Rosh Chodesh, and it's also a day of Korban Eitzim. So why don't we suspend the Mamadot on that day, just like by Rosh Chodesh Tevet? The Gemara says, from that you can conclude that Amarava Zotomeret Halela Debresh Yarcha Lav Doraito. The Halel on Rosh Chodesh is not Min HaTorah. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Mishun Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehud Tzadak. On 18 days during the year, an individual finishes off the Hallel. That means even an individual finishes off the Hallel, he can say it. Obviously in the Tzibor, you definitely say it, but even a Yachid says it, the entire Hallel. What are the 18 days during the year in which you have Hallel? Shmona Yimei Achag, they are the 8 days of Sukkot. Shmona Yimei Chanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah, which is 16. Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, the first day of Pesach, Yom Tov Shel Atzeret, and the only day which is Shavuot of Shavuot. So those are 18 days in which we finish the Hallel. The Gemara in Erachin discusses why Pesach only has one day of Hallel Shalem, whereas Sukkot has every day with Hallel Shalem. There the Gemara says because the Korbanot are different on every day of Sukkot, and therefore every day is a different Hallel. Whereas in Pesach, after the first day, all the Korbanot repeat, and it's the same Korban. In other Midrashim, we have the Midrash that with regards to the seventh day in Pesach, in which the Egyptians are drowned, that it might be inappropriate to be singing Hallel while the Egyptians are drowning. So there are other midrashim as to why, but there is clearly this differentiation between Pesach and Sukkot, and that's why we have 18 days in which we finish the Hallel. Ubigola, and Chutz Laretz, 21 days. That's because, Ve'elohein, Tisha Yimei Achag, you have 9 days of Sukkot, including Shmini Atzeret, of course. Shmoni Yimei Chanukah, the same 8 days of Chanukah, Shnei Yamim Rishonim Shel Pesach, the first 2 days of Pesach, Bet Yamim Tovim Shel Atzeret, and obviously 2 days of Shavuot. So it's all those doubled up days, therefore you end up with 3 extra days of Hallel Shalem. But what you see from here is that Rosh Chodesh is not enumerated in that category of those items that have a Hallel Shalem in a Torah. And now even though Chanukah is not mentioned in the Torah either, but because the way that Chanukah is established, which is that the Nevi'im were metakein, that they say it on every perek in all tzara that we're saved from, it has a din like deoraita. That's what he says. Rashi says over here that Hallel of Chanukah has a din or a level like deoraita, whereas that of Rosh Chodesh is simply a minhag, which we're going to see in a second. Rav Ikla de Bavel. Rav went to Bavel. When he went to Bavel, meaning he left Eretz Yisrael at one point and moved to Bavel. Chazinu de Kakaru Halelo Bereish Yarcho. They were reading Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Sarah left Sukinu. He wanted to stop them. What is this? Saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? There's no requirement of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Came in the Chazak Medaleg Dalugay. Medalge Dalugay. Since he saw they were skipping in the middle, Amar Shmamina Minhag Avotehem Biyadehem. This is a Minhag that they read the Hallel, and they don't read the full Hallel. to only read Chatzi Hallel, which is we skip over half of two of the piyutim in Hallel, and through that we make it clear that it's a minhag of a vote. Tana, yachid lo yatchil, an individual should not start Hallel, v'mitchil gomer, if he begins the Hallel, he can finish it. So Rashi says, lo yatchil means eno tzarich latchil. A yachid does not have to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, but if he begins to say it, he should finish it off. And Tosfot has a similar sentiment like that, that it's not allowed to, the person's not, but rather, he's not obligated to do it. Rishut biyado, it's optional for him to do it. That's why Rashi and Tosfot read it. The other Rishonim, they read it differently, and therefore, there's a number of issues that come up here, the halacha. The first issue, the halacha, which we've mentioned numerous times, we saw this in the Gemara and Sukkah, as well as in Arachin and other places, is whether you make a bracha on the Chatzi Halel of Rosh Chodesh. The Rabbeinu Tam says, you do make a bracha on the Chatzi Halel because you make a bracha on a minhag. So anytime there's a minhag, you make a bracha on that minhag. Whereas the Shulchan Aruch and many of the Rishonim, including the Rambam, believe that you do not make a bracha on a minhag. And therefore, the practice of the Sfaradim is not to make a bracha on Chatzi Halel, whereas the practice of the Ashkenazim is to make a bracha on Chatzi Halel. Now, many of the people bring the proof from here that there is no bracha on Hallel because Rav Iklal the Bavel, Chazinu the Kokhari Lelo, Bereish Yarcha, and he wanted to stop them. But since he saw them skipping, he said, okay, it's fine, it's a minhag. So since it's a minhag, he didn't worry about it, and you see that a minhag is not so important, it's not so significant, and there's no bracha. The Rabbeinu Tam comes along and says, He says, from this is the proof that you say a bracha. Because had they not said a bracha, then why did Rav have to wait till they skipped in Hallel? As soon as they started Hallel without a bracha, he would have known it's a minhag. And therefore, he wouldn't have said anything, or he wouldn't have any questions. The fact that he had to wait until they skipped shows you that they did what they did normally, which is make a bracha at the beginning of Hallel. And he says, what are you going to say? Rav came late to shul, and he didn't know if they said a bracha or not because he came late. So he says, that's not borne out by the statement here because it says Rav Ikla LeBavel. It doesn't say Rav Ikla LeBeik Nishta. It would sound like he walked in shul in the middle. This is rather when Rav came to Bavel, this was the practice in Bavel, which means that he saw him when he walked into shul. He saw them doing what seemed to be a bracha. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam concludes that one does make a bracha on a minhag. Now, he has a problem with the Gemara in Sukkah, because the Gemara in Sukkah says that if chibut av rava, the minhag to take their avot on the seventh day of Sukkot, the Yom Hashanah, is a minhag nevi'im, then you would not make a bracha on it. So from there you see that you don't make a bracha on a minhag. So Rabbeinu Tam differentiates and says that that's just chavata ba'alma, tiltul ba'alma, just carrying something around, so it's not a real mitzvah. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam brings proofs to his position from the fact that we make brachot on the second day of Yom Tov in Chutz Laaretz. When it comes to the second day of Chutz Laaretz, which the Gemara in Beitza have told us is a minhag avotein b'yadeim, and nevertheless, when it comes to doing mitzvot on the second day of Yom Tov, we make a bracha on those items. So from the practice like that, it seems like the Rabbeinu Tam's right that we do make brachot on items like that. Now, the Rambam has an interesting shita, because the Rambam believes that you cannot make a bracha on a minhag, and therefore by Hallel he says you do not make a bracha. But he does say by the Yom Tov Sheni that you do make a bracha on it. So why, with regards to Hallel and all of the other items that come on Yom Tov Sheni, do you make a bracha according to the Rambam? Whereas by other minhagim, we do not make a bracha. And also for the Rabbeinu Tam, we have certain items where we make a bracha on them for minhag, and not by chibut of arava. So there is a famous brisker rav, I think we mentioned in the Gemara and Sukkah as well, that there's a difference between minhagim, where the minhag is already defined as a mitzvah in another context, versus minhagim that are totally new minhagim. So when it comes to something that's a totally new minhag, Rabbeinu Tam agrees that you don't make a bracha on it. So for instance, like the chivut arava, the taking of the arava, which is a totally new mitzvah that has no other precedent and has no other paradigm, therefore there you don't make a bracha on it. On the other hand, other mitzvot, which parallel mitzvot that we do in other places. So for instance, taking the lulav on the second day of Yom Tov, taking the lulav, blowing the shofar, all these things that we do on the second day of Yom Tov, reading the Hallel, these are all mitzvot that are defined in mitzvot in another context. So therefore, when we practice them as a minhag, we make a bracha on them because they have a definition of mitzvah outside the context of this minhag itself. So that's how the Brisker Rav explains the Rabbeinu Tam's shita. It says, therefore, we make a bracha on minhagim that are mitzvot, or have a shem mitzvah in another place, whereas we don't make a bracha on items that are brand new types of mitzvot that didn't exist otherwise. Now, the Rambam, who says that we don't make a bracha on the minhag of Harava, and we also don't make a bracha on the minhag of Rosh Chodesh, but we do make a bracha on the minhag of Yom Tov Sheni, how do we explain his position? So what you have to say is, or this is the way that the Brisker Rav explains it, is that the Kriyat HaHalel is not significant enough to make a bracha on it. Because the brachot that you say on Hallel are not a Birkat HaMitzvah, but rather a bracha that establishes the contextual reading of the Hallel. Similar to like Psuket HaZimra. Where you have Psuket HaZimra, where you make a bracha before and afterwards, that's not necessarily a Birkat HaMitzvah, but a bracha to define the activity or the action that we're taking. And same thing by the bracha of Hallel. The bracha there is not a birkat mitzvah, but rather to define the context in which we're reading it. So if it's a minhag, then there is no context to define over here, and therefore it would be inappropriate to make a bracha. So that's the way the Brisker Rav explains it in the Gemara and Sukkah, and we would obviously that is the same thing over here with regards to these minhagim as to whether to make a bracha or not. Again, the conclusion is that those Ashkenazim do make a bracha on the minhag, and we actually make a different bracha. We read the Kriyat HaHalel instead of the Gemara HaHalel. Even though if you do say the Gemara HaHalel, you don't have to read the bracha over again because the word the Gemara can mean the Kro in some instances. And therefore, the Gemara is fine to say as a bracha. Not the Chathchila, but B'diavad you can say it. And the Sfaradim don't say the bracha. The other thing that comes out of here is with regards to a Yachid and a Tzibur. And this actually has halachic implications with regards to the Halel on Rosh Chodesh and days like that, which is Rekarim Halel B'tiluk, the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Taf Kof Bet, Siv Bet. Karim Halel B'tiluk, Ben Yachid Ben Tzibur. You read Chazi Halel, Yachid and Tzibur. V'yeshomim she'a Tzibur mevachim ala b'tchila, Likroat Halel. Some say you make the brach of Likroat Halel. V'im birech ligmor, the Ramah says it's not a problem. Then, Ublisov Yalulucha, V'yachid ein mevarech alav. An individual does not make a brach on it. And some people say, even the Tzibur doesn't make a brach on it. That is the position of the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch says, that's the minhag in Eretz Yisrael and all the areas around it. And that is the minhag of the Sfaradim, not to say a brach at all. Hagah. And now you have the Ramah, who many times in Shulchan Aruch is not coming to argue on the Shulchan Aruch. He's coming to tell you that the minhag is different in Bnei Ashkenaz. That's what he says here. He says, some people say that the Yachid is Mevarech, and he quotes the Rabbeinu Tam over here, who says that the Yachid makes a bracha. In our Midinot, that is the Minhag, that we do make a bracha on Hatzi Halel. Mikol Makom, and this is what comes out of the Ramah over here, based on our Gemara, Yizer Adam Likrot B'Tzibur. Person should try to read Hatzi Halel with the Tzibur, Kedei Levarech Halav Ima Tzibur, in order that he should read it along with the Tzibur. That if a Yachid is reading it and he doesn't have a minion with him, that he should get two other people to listen and to respond to him when he says Hodu and he says Ana Hashem, in order to make it like a Tzibur, to make it like a larger group, in order that he can say a Bracha. Now in the end, the Ramah says a Yachid can make a Bracha, but he does say that we try not to have a Yachid say Chatzi Halel, and we give precedence, or we try to have you do it with a tzibur. And therefore, there's actually a nafka mino l'alocha, which the Mishnah Berurah brings down, which is that if a person walks in late to shul, and he's davin psuket ezimra, and in the middle of psuket ezimra, the tzibur gets to halel, a chatzi halel. The Mishnah Berurah says that he should stop, read the halel along with the tzibur, and then continue on with psuket ezimra. He says it's no worse than the extra mizmorim that we say on Shabbat. So you can just put that TLL in the middle of Psuket HaZimra. You don't have to make an extra bracha, because the bracha of Psuket HaZimra will cover it. But he says that's only true on Rosh Chodesh, where it's a Chatzi HaHalel, because we want you to do it with the Tzibur. We don't want you to do it alone. But on a day that it's a Gomeret HaHalel, where you do finish off the Halel, then there's no reason to do it in Psuket HaZimra. You can do it alone later on when you reach Halel and make your own bracha on it. But because of the idea of doing it with the Tzibur has extra weight on when you're doing Chatzi HaHalel, both for the bracha as well as the saying of the Hakatzi Halel. The Mishnah Berurah says you should say it in Pesukei Dezimra. We give you the opportunity, if you walk in late to shul, you should say Halel first and then go back and daven. And that there are all other factors here that make it that you give precedence to Halel with the Tzibur when it's the Minhag, because that's the proper way to say it, or according to some of the Rishonim, the only way to say it. And as opposed to on days when you're allowed to read Halel, even the Yachid can read Halel, we don't do that. We don't give precedence to the Halel because it doesn't really matter whether you do it by Yachid or by Tzibur in those instances. Those are actually so two halachot or point halachot that come out from the Gemara that we just read. Right now, the Gemara says, "Hey, dvarim iru et avotenu b'shivasar b'tamuz." Five things transpired on the 17th of Tammuz. Nishtabru aluchot. The luchot were broken on that day. Minolan. How do you know that's true? Titanio. There's a machloket in the Gemara in Shabbat whether the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan or on the 7th of Sivan. So b'shisha lachodesh nitnu aseret adibrot. Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan, Israel. Rabbi Yossi Omer b'shiv abo. Rabbi Yossi argues and says it's on the 7th of Sivan. Manda mar b'shisha nitnu. The one who says that it was given on the 6th day, b'shisha nitnu u'b'shiva ala Moshe. On the 6th day, the Torah was given. On the 7th day, Moshe goes up to Shamayim for the 40 days and the 40 nights. Manda mar b'shiva. The one who says on the 7th day, Sivan, b'shiva nitnu. It was given on the 7th, u'b'shiva ala Moshe. And on the 7th day, Moshe goes up. Dichtiv, because the pasuk says, v'yikra Moshe b'yom ha-shevi'i. That Hashem calls out to Moshe on the 7th day. Now, the truth is that that's a machloket in the Gemara in Shabbat as to whether that Vayikra B'Yom HaShvi'i is really on the 7th day, or is Vayikra B'Yom HaShvi'i on the days after Matan Torah. And then there's 6 days, and then Hashem calls Moshe on the 7th day to go up for part of the 40 days and 40 nights. So this pasuk is only a proof for one of the deot here, that on the 7th day he went up, but it's not a proof for both deot, because one of the deot reads this as being the 7 days subsequent to Matan Torah. Uchtiv. And it says, "Vayom Moshe b'toch Hanan, v'yala lahar v'yi Moshe b'har arba'im yom v'arba'im laila." Once Moshe ascended the mountain, he was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. So if he went up on the 7th, you have esrim v'arba de Sivan. You have 24 days remaining in Sivan, because Sivan is a malei, chodesh. V'shitzar de Tammuz, and 16 days in Tammuz to get you to 40. M'luluhu arba'im, so that equals the 40 days. And then b'shivasar b'tammuz nachit. Then on the 17th of Tammuz, Moshe descends from the mountain. Ato, he comes with Tavrina Luchot. He breaks Luchot. Tiv, vehi kasher karav el ha-machaneh. When he approaches the camp, vayara ta egel, he sees the egel, vayashlech miyadav et ha-luchot, vayishaber utam tachar ahar. He breaks the Luchot on his return. And his return was on the 17th of Tammuz. That's how we know that on the 17th of Tammuz, nishtabru ha-luchot. Batel ha-tamid, the fact that the Tamid, the Korban ha-tamid, was no longer brought, they didn't have sufficient animals to bring the Korban ha-tamid, is Gemara. As Rashi says right here, kach kibalnu mi-avutenu. It's passed on for the generations. We don't have any definitive proof to it. It's a misorah that we know that that was the day, the 17th of Tammuz, when they stopped bringing the Tamid. Now Gemara says, the second thing that the Mishnah enumerates is, Hufka'a ayir b'yudzayin havel. Gemara says, is it really true that the city was breached on the 17th of Tammuz? V'aktiv b'chodesh harivi'i b'tisha b'chodesh. It was on the 4th month, meaning Tammuz, b'tisha b'chodesh, on the 9th of the month. Vayechazak harav ba'ir. The famine was exceedingly difficult in the city. The siege on the city was working. Uchti batrei, and then it says, subsequent went to that, vatibaka ha'ir. They breached the walls of the city. So it seems like they breached the walls of the city on the 9th of Tammuz, not on the 17th of Tammuz. So, amarova lokasha. Kan b'rishona, kan b'shnia. Depends if it's the bayit rishon or the bayit sheni. In bayit rishon, the walls were breached on the 9th. In bayit sheni, the walls were breached on the 17th. Titanio, because you have a bright that supports that. Rishona uvka ha'ir b'tisha b'tammuz. In the first Mikdash, the walls were breached in the city on the 9th. Shnia b'shivas arbo. And on the second Mikdash, on the 17th. Now, technically, we should fast on both days. We should fast on the 9th and the 17th. So the answer as to why we do it on the 17th is for two reasons. One is chuchpalu tzarot, that we have a number of items that went wrong on the 17th and not the 9th. And number two is, it's a gzeirah, shein tzibur yecholim lamod ba. Something that the people couldn't fast 2 days in a row, 2 times in a row in a very short span of time, on the 9th and the 17th, it would be too much for the tzibur to fast twice like that in a short duration. And therefore, they picked the 17th. They picked the 17th again because huchpalu tzarot. There are numerous items that took place, plus it was the bayit sheni. It was in the time of bayit sheni, and that's more relevant to us. because the destruction of Beit Sheni is what left us in the position that we are now. So therefore, the 17th is a more important date than the 9th. And that's why we fast on the 17th and not the 9th. This is the answer of the Bavli. The Yerushalmi gives a different answer. Tosafot in Rosh Hashanah quotes the Yerushalmi as well. And the Yerushalmi says that both Batei Mikdash were destroyed on the 17th. What does the Navi say was the 9th? It's the 9th, according to the Navi, because they lost track. They were so famished, and they were starving, and they couldn't keep the track of time properly. And they lost track of time, and they thought it was the 9th. And the Navi wrote down the date that the people thought it was, which was the 9th. But in truth, it was on the 17th. And it was, the walls of the city were breached on the 17th, both in Beit Rishon and in Beit Sheni. That's the answer of the Yerushalmi. All right, now the next thing is, Saraf apustomos et Torah, Gemara. That we don't have any proof from the text. That is a Gemara. That's a Mesorah that we have, that apustomos burnt the Torah on Shivasar B'Tammuz. Hemid tzelem b'heichal. There was a tzelem, there was an idol put up in the heichal. Now, Rashi says over here, this is in the time of Menashe. Now, if that's correct, then the Girsa in the Mishnah should be v'humad tzelem b'heichal. Then it should be that there was a tzelem put in the heichal. Because the way it reads in our Mishnah now, v'hemid tzelem b'heichal, that's referencing back to apustomos. And that would say that apustomos burnt the Torah and also put an idol into the heichal. So according to Rashi, who says it's Menashe and not apustomos, you would have to read it as v'humad tzelem b'heichal to separate it from the previous statement with regards to apustomos. So how do we know that's the case? Dichtiv, because it says in Daniel, u'me'et husar ha-tamid, on the day that the tamid was terminated, that the tamid was batel, and that was batel ha-tamid is Gemara. We saw before that the reason that the tamid was stopped, and we know that's on the 17th, is Gemara is also a misora that we have. So, me'et husar ha-tamid, on the same day that tamid was gone, v'latet shikutz shomeim, there was this abomination of desolation that was placed in the Mikdash. So on the same day as the Tamid, then you have the Tzelem put there. So there's the connection in Daniel between the stopping of the Tamid, which is on the 17th of Tammuz, to the placement of a Tzelem in a Echal. Where it says, V'chad havo? Is it really one? V'aktiv. Earlier on in Daniel it says, V'al knaf shikutzim mishomeim. And on the wings of these abominations, mishomeim of desolation. So there it calls them shikutzim in plural. So is it the same type of terminology? Shikutzim mishomeim, and here it's shikutz shomeim. One time it's singular, one time it's plural. So Amarava trehavu. There really were two idols were put there. Nafal chara chavre. And one of them fell onto its friend. Vitavre le diade. And broke his arm. Broke the arm off the other idol. Vishtakach taviktiv. And it was written upon it. The it is not clear which one it was written on. Ant tzaveit the chavruve beta. You were to destroy the Mikdash, Yadach Ashlimitle, your hand paid for it. So one way is to say it, it's written on the idol whose arm was broken, and it's basically saying that you were going to destroy the Mikdash because you caused Bnei Israel to worship the idols, and I'm going to take revenge on you, and I'm taking your arm off because of what you've done to Bnei Israel. And it's showing that you don't have the power to destroy it, and you shouldn't destroy it. So that's the Nikama, that's the revenge that's taken on the idol. That's one way to read it. The other way to read it is that it's written on the whole idol, which is Antzaveh Dacharuve Beta. I commanded you to destroy the Mikdash, Yadach Ashlimatle, and I'm going to support you in doing that. Basically, I've given you the power to destroy the Mikdash because that is the deserving punishment that Bnei Yisrael should take at this time for the way that they are acting. And then the other possibility Rashi gives, like a middle possibility again, which is that the hand refers to Oshlit. Balab Yadi means that you will be successful. Dachash Limitle means that you will be successful at it. You wanted to destroy the Mikdash, and you will be successful at doing that. So those are the five things that happened on Shiva Besar B'Tammuz. I just went through all of them. One is Nishtabra Luchot, which you learned out of Sukkim from the Torah. Batela Tamid, which is learned out from a Mesora Gemara. Hufka Ayir, which we learn out from the Psukim in Yirmiyahu, but we really learn out from the Mesorah, because that's Beit Rishon, Beit Sheni, we learn out from the 17th from the Mesorah. The Saraf Upustamos at the Torah is also Mesorah, that's the Gemara says Gemara. And then, Hemid, Tzelem Beheichal, that, if that's in the time of Menashe, that we learn out from the Psukim in Daniel. Okay, we're going to stop over here.